Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to see almost all of you. It's great to see, all right, let me say that again. It's good to see all of you here. I was on vacation for a couple of weeks here, and it is really good to be back. Learn something on vacation. It's good to learn whenever you're at, and yes, even old dogs can learn new tricks. The new trick I learned is not to come back from vacation to go to a church picnic and a softball game. I learned not to do that. Came back for that time and kind of ran out of a couple things. I learned when you get to be my age, don't try to show off while you're playing softball. Had a couple nice hits batting right-handed, you know, and over the right field or the left fielder's head, and it was sad as back when. This year, my daughter turns 28 in August. In that year, we won the softball championship. If I was playing softball 28 years ago, that one that I hit over the guy's head in left field, I would have had a home run on. I got to second base this time. So I hit it so well those first few times, I figured what I would do is bat left-handed. So I swung as hard as I could, and I topped the ball, so it's dribbling down in between first and second base. And this is where I made the big mistake. I tried to run that sucker out. And I got almost to first base, and I pulled a hamstring and made it across the base. And there was some dispute whether or not I was safe or not. But after I got across the base, I just fell and kind of tumbled and just laid there for a minute. My wife, she thought I had a heart attack. She thought, he's dead, this is gone. But we're okay, because Mr. George Sonifro was there, and he's an EMT, and he knows what to do. But it wasn't a heart attack, it was just a hamstring pull. And then it was something that I had to deal with for a week on vacation. Because for a full week, over a week actually, I could not walk. It was so bad. Until I figured out something, I ended up wrapping it with an ace bandage, and it was amazing how much better I could walk with that sucker wrapped up. And then I was trying to figure out what would work out best, and so it took me a week to figure that out, and then I assume that you all prayed for me last Sunday, because Sunday morning, I still couldn't walk. Sunday afternoon, I could walk again, and it was pretty... noticeably different. So I just figured that day you all must have just prayed for me. So I appreciate that. So I learned a couple things. One is I am not nowhere near as young as I used to be, and I shouldn't try to do the things I used to do when I was young. When you guys get up to be about 50, stop. Just stop. And when you passed it, like some of us have, don't try to do it anymore. Or if you do, just get in shape, stretch out, those type of things. But we had a lot of fun at the picnic. And then the sad thing, my team was winning up to that point when I got hurt. Then we lost. We fell apart. So I just figured it had to be all about me and us controlling all that there. Not that I'm, you know, egotistical or anything, or we're going to talk about anything like that today. The last thing I mentioned, because he ended up going out of the room, he asked me, are you going to talk about me? And I said, I don't know yet. So he left because he probably figured I was going to talk about him, or now I have to talk about it because he's not in the room. My son graduated from high school. That was awesome. And we had the baccalaureate service here, and I was able to speak at it. He went to McKeel Christian Academy. And I got to share a few things. I thought my daughter... I mentioned she was born 28 years ago. I didn't have any clue on what to do as a parent. You know, she came along like 10 months, 13 days after I said I do, okay? No, not ready for that at all. Now, Matt came along 10 years, 2 months, and 10 days after I said I do, and I decided I was going to be his father. So there were some few criteria that I was looking for in order to be considered a successful parent. One is, he knew the Lord. Two, he'd graduate from high school. And three, he would understand that there's consequences for his decisions, bad or good, that he had to live with them. But I ended up, at the baccalaureate service, I ended up changing that a little bit, and I added one other thing. And I added what Jesus gave us, the great command, the great commission, that you would understand that as a follower of Jesus, there's a responsibility that goes along with it. And that's one thing I can say that I'm real thankful for Matt. He this last year, it was kind of funny, he won two awards at school. One, we get invited to this academic award service. We ended up canceling a board meeting for church for this, so I could go attend this meeting and or this award service, and we don't know what the award is for, and we get there, and we're sitting through, and it comes up till the last person gets up for an award, for an academic award, and my son wins an academic award for gym class. Strength and conditioning. He wins an award. And I was thinking, we didn't have board meeting for this. I'm still talking about you, Matt. You want to leave? But then one thing I got to tell you, we my wife and I, my daughter, we all started to tear up at the graduation service. He ended up getting an award. We had no idea. They started talking about this guy, and, you know, Adrian leans over to Bethany. Are they talking about Matt? And Bethany asked me, are they talking about Matt? I don't know. It sounds like him. And he got an award for most likely to use music in a career. And they talked about how Matt has a desire to become a worship pastor and to lead people in this idea of worship. And actually, Matt just started this last week as an intern for us here at City View, where he's working with Pastor Greg and Pastor Joey and learning about this worship pastor stuff. And I got to tell you, we were really, really proud. So that's kind of been my last 3 weeks. And I want to thank you all for coming today. And I hope God spoke to you out of that or something. And we can go on to worship and sing our last song. And no, I'm supposed to do something else here. We just finished up Matthew chapter 5. Now we're going into chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4 and 19 through 24. And we've been doing this idea of what would Jesus tweet. And if Jesus was looking at these passages, maybe this is what he would tweet. You act right for people to look good. Remember how I said that idea of, you know, I was going to show off, trying to hit left-handed, and you know, not that I was acting right at that point, but trying to look good to impress people. Give and don't brag. Let your treasure be in heaven where it lasts. You can't serve two masters. It's God or it's money. Hashtag what would Jesus tweet. So we're looking at these scriptures a little bit today, and I thought we'd just jump into the first four verses in chapter 6, and it reads this. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father sees in secret and will reward you. So we're looking at this passage that Jesus is talking to, and the first thing we kind of think of is sometimes we may try to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Is it possible? And we'd all say, yeah, there's times I've done the right things for the wrong reasons. There reminds me of a story. There's this one guy who really appreciated the arts, you know, liked to go to plays, really got into music, orchestra, singing. Just so you know, that guy isn't me. Matt was asking me last night, and he says, Dad, if I got a group and together and we played this kind of music, would you come and listen? And I said, once. And then he goes, well, how about this kind of, would you come and listen to me if we played this style of music? And again, I said, once. And he said, well, what about this one? If we played this style, would you come and listen? And I said, Matt, didn't you hear what I said tonight? I'm not a guy who appreciates the music and arts and things. I'm just not that guy. You know, I'd rather sit in the boat and fish, okay? Be out there by myself, nothing, no sound, nothing, other than the splash of the fish coming out of the water after he takes my lure. That's about the only sound I want to hear. Then he keeps going, well, how about this style? I go, sure, Matt, I'd come listen. Just shut up. Leave me alone. I want to watch TV here. See, I'm not that kind of guy who really appreciates the arts. So if you're thinking, gee, we got the Glimmer Glass Opera and I got some tickets, don't give them to me, okay? Really, you don't have to give them to me. If you're selling tickets for that, don't come see me because I'm not going to buy them. I don't like concerts. I'm just not that type of guy. Well, this one guy loved this stuff. He probably loved it almost as much as I like to fish. All right, appreciate the different styles of music. Appreciate the different styles of singing. You know, understood what's the difference between tenor 20. You know, right? Tenor, isn't that a tenor and 20, or isn't that something like people who sing different? You guys are singers, right? You know, a tenor, you know, bass, you know, sanguine or something. I don't even know what they all are. But he knew. He could tell the different rhythms. He could tell the different strings, what's being played, and just loved it. Well, he went to this really cool theater, and it was an awesome night. And he noticed that up in the front, off to the side, there were the usher seats. And when it was over, the two ushers stood right up and they started clapping, encore, encore. And they're yelling, come on, yo, this is great. And they're clapping really hard. Guess I'm not supposed to get loud. Sorry, Tripper. They're so excited about it. And this guy who appreciates that type of music was just appreciated that people appreciated that kind of music. So he was getting ready to go up there and he's making his way up to talk to these ushers. And as he got closer, he heard the one usher lean over, keep clapping, keep yelling, keep doing this, because if we can get him to do an encore, we'll get overtime. Make a little bit more money. Well, it appeared like they really loved this music. On the outside, it appeared that they were clapping and applauding and all this for the right reason. But inside, they were doing it for a different type of reason. It turned out that they were clapping and applauding so they could line their pockets, make them a little deeper. I don't know how much money you make being an usher, but they were going to make a little overtime that day. You see, there's people who do good things for the wrong reasons. It might seem on the outside that they're trying to do what is right, but it ends up that they're only doing it on their behalf. Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever done something good for your own benefit? I have. I can tell you I have. I mean, as a pastor, I have. You know, I wanted to come up with an eloquent sermon. You're saying, Jay, there isn't anything eloquent about you. I know that. But I'd still try. Why? Because I want people to like me more. You know, if I can just drive this point home, if I could just say it the right way, boy, they'll say, wow, look at Jay. Did a good job here. Or someone calls me in the middle of the night and I go up to the hospital or something. Boy, he's always there for you. Am I? Or do I just get paid to do it? And if I go do it right away, it makes me look good. Now, I was going around this morning and I was beating Jane at a couple things today. Now, I wasn't beating Jane. I was getting to something quicker than Jane. We noticed that there wasn't a bowl out there to put creamers in, so I went back to got the bowl, you know. And well, was I doing that? It was a good thing to do. Was I doing it so people would notice? You know, I emptied the trash bag. Between the services, you know, after they got done, I emptied it. So it would have a clean, you go down there, you'll see that it's a clean basket down there, unless somebody went and dirtied it while I left. I do that so that people would say, well, look at Jay, he's a pastor, he's doing it. Or is it, you know, sometimes things just need to get done, we do it. But you know what I'm talking about, because you've all done it. You've all done something so that other people would recognize you, so they might like you more. That they might appreciate you. You've all heard that the ends justify the means, right? And you know what that means, that I want this result, and that's a good result. Whatever I have to do to make that happen is good. One of my favorite TV shows is Leverage. I mean, I'm Netflixing it. I've done it now. I'm into my third time going through Netflixing this. I like the show. Anyone know what Leverage is? Everybody seen it? It's kind of a modern-day Robin Hood where these thieves steal back from the rich who've stolen from the poor and give it back to the poor and kind of crush the rich. You know, it's just that underdog type thing. It's a fun show. It's not dirty. It's not suggestive. It's a fun show. But you know what? A lot of their means and how they're trying to accomplish their task aren't right. They're breaking the law. God's saying here, the means is just as important as the result. Why we do what we do, how we go about doing it, is just as important as doing it. Again, let's pull up this Matthew 6 from the New Century Version. Be careful when you do good things. Don't do them in front of other people to be seen by them. If you do that, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the poor, don't let anyone know what you are doing. You should give, your giving should be done in secret, so your Father can see what is done in secret, so he'll reward you. One of the reasons we have the black boxes in the back. So, you know, we don't pass the plate anymore. You pass the plate, oh, wait a minute, you know, we're watching how much you're putting in there. Other people might be noticing what, we have the black boxes in the back, so you can give in secret. This is a way you worship God. You're not out there saying, hey, look what I'm giving. Back in Jesus' day, they had metal coins, remember? And they had these big brass or gold or whatever type of metal containers, and they were long, and you'd put the coins in it, and it'd slip down in and make a lot of noise. So when the rich people went through, they were throwing the money in, and you could hear it clank as it went in. And Jesus told a story about the widow's mite, and she put in, the mite was a coin, a small coin, very not worth very much, and she put in all she had. Couldn't even hear the noise. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, she gave more than all these other people combined. She gave in secret what she had. See, and that's what Jesus is saying to us here. What we do is important. We need to give to the needy. We need to do good things. We need to help people. Yesterday, there was a couple in our in our church family. They're moving to Oneana. You know Justin and Stephanie Volk. You know, so we gathered at their house and helped load up their stuff and bring it down there. Did we do that so that people would say, wow, look at these good people? Now, some of them, you take like John and Hunter, they were there from the beginning. And then you had the other people who kind of showed up at the end just so people would recognize them. I won't mention any of them names like a pastor or anything. I had 3 meetings before this, okay? That's why I got there late. Otherwise, I would have been there to impress everybody to say to them how. No, that's not why we do it. We do it because we love people. God loves people. Why we do what we do is really important. And I think Jesus is saying here, look at your motives. Consider what it is that you're doing. You know, there's a word out there. It's called covet. Is covet a good word or a bad word? It's a bad word. Covet not. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or his things. Or, you know, oh, it's this thing. Well, let's look at what covet means. Covet means a deep, passionate desire. So let me ask the question again. Is covet a good word or a bad word? It's neutral, really. It can be either. It can be bad. Coveting your neighbor's spouse or their things is not good. Right? That is bad, not good. And for me, that's, you know, my brother got a new car yesterday. And I went and looked at his new Ford Fusion and leather interior and everything, you know, and I've got my, you know, 10-year-old Volkswagen Passat out there with 130-some thousand miles on it. You get a little whiff of oil sometimes, and, you know, hard sitting in my brother's nice new car. I tell them, I go, well, I got to get out. I don't want to covet. You know, I was talking about that tonight, you know. But if covet means a deep, passionate desire, could be what Jesus is saying here in these first few verses, that, you know what, we need to covet God's approval. Most of the time, and maybe often, we covet other people's approval. I was telling Pastor Greg earlier, years ago, I was preaching at Calvary Baptist. It was in Schenectady, and I had a great sermon. I used big words. I mean, everything flowed, the analogies, everything. I mean, this was a home run sermon. It was great. And you know, sometimes pastors walk to the back of the church, so you're walking out, you shake their hand, and you have to say, nice job, pastor, good job, you know. I'm standing back there, and people are, and nice message, pastor. I'm going, what? Didn't you hear me? I was really good. I was moved by my own message. I'm thinking these thoughts. What's going on here? Nice message, pastor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where were you? You know? The next week, it's so funny how God works things out. The next week, I have a cold. I'm coughing. I got some tea up there. I'm drinking that. I'm trying to get through this message. I don't even know what I'm saying. And I'm thinking, why don't you just sit down and shut up? You know, this enough's enough. And people are walking out. I'm back there greeting them because that's what you're supposed to do. Oh, pastor, God really spoke to me through your message. What? He did not. He couldn't have. And a number of people, God really spoke to me today. How could he? Well, maybe he didn't have anything to do with me. Maybe I was just the tool in his hand. So he showed me something. We offer ourselves to God. We covet his approval. Our deep passion, desire is for him. What he thinks, not what other people think, not what your pastor thinks, not what your coworkers think, not what your children, your parents. It's not about that. What does God think? Why do we do what we do? The next few verses he gets into, says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Then if the light is your darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. There was this older man. He was up there in years. He'd done pretty well in business, made a lot of money, and he knew he was dying. So he called three of his closest friends, three friends that he knew were trustworthy, three friends he knew he could count on. He said, guys, come on in. We need to talk. And he said, look it. I don't know what you all say is true. You said you can't take it with you. What if you're wrong? What if the experts are wrong in this field? What if you can take it with you? Here, each of you, I got an envelope. And in that envelope is $100,000. And what I'd like you to do at my wake, I'd like you to take the envelope and just put it in my suit jacket. Just in case you're all wrong, I might need it there. And they all agreed, yeah, we'll do that. Well, his three friends, you know, came up to the wake. He ended up passing away. And the first friend was his pastor. So his pastor went up and took the envelope and he put it in his suit jacket. The second friend of his was a doctor. So the doctor took his envelope and he put it in the suit jacket. And the third person went up was one of his business associates. And he took his envelope and he put it in the pocket. later on, after the wake, they're standing in the back, and the pastor goes, you know, I can't take it. I've got to confess to you all. I took out $20,000. He goes, you know how we're trying to feed people at the church, the poor around us? He goes, $20,000 to go a long way. So I only put $80,000 in the envelope, and I had to tell you this. And the doctor kind of goes, well, I'm glad you told us that, because I only put $50,000 in the envelope. I kept $50,000. I have this, you know, the inner city clinic where we're taking care of people in the inner city, and you know, we need more prescriptions, we need more supplies, we're always in need. He goes, I took $50,000 out to do that. I only put $50,000 in it. His business associate looked at him. He goes, I'm disgusted with you guys. I cannot believe he trusted us to do what was right. He asked one thing of us, and we wouldn't do it. That's why I put a personal check in that envelope, and I put it in his pocket. It's kind of interesting how we think about and what we do with stuff. What we put so much energy living in for. So much of the time, aren't our thoughts about things around us? How can I get this? How can I get that? I want this. You know, I covet my neighbor's stuff. So much of it is how do I gather more for myself? And Jesus is really clear. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth for yourself. That's not what it's about. I remember reading a number of years ago, Leonard Sweet wrote a book called Soul Tsunami. And in it, he was reading somewhere, and he found out about this a chief of a tribe down in South America. And the chief had like 24 children. And the guy, he's thinking, man, he is 24 children, overpopulation of the world. Come on, they're using up all the resources of this world. And he came back and he started studying a little bit, and he found out that his two children, the resources of the world that his two children used up was equivalent to 150 children down there in South America. And he had to ask the question, who's using up the world's resources? This man's 24 children or his two children? Who's really responsible for overpopulation? The two children are using up more of the world's resources. But that's how we are, especially in the West, in America. It's like, how can we attain more for ourselves? How can we get more? What do I need to do? I really like what John Wesley had to say. He says, I encourage you to go work as hard as you can. Make as much money as you can. Live as simply as you can so that you can give away as much as you can. See, he understood this process. And in his day, in the 1700s, he made what would be an equivalent of about $160,000 in our day. But he lived on what would be the equivalent of $20,000, and he gave the $140,000 away. Here's a man who was following after God's heart, and he knew that the acquiring of things and stuff wasn't for him. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us God blesses us so that we can bless others. The blessing isn't for us to acquire and enjoy and just keep and hoard for ourselves. Our treasure isn't here on earth where rust and moths destroy, where thieves break in and steal. He says here what? Where your treasure is, there is your heart. And the question I have to ask, the question that I would encourage you to ask is, where is your heart today? Is it acquiring more of God's blessings so that you can keep them for yourself? It's kind of interesting. There's that next section. You know, I can quote probably 19 through 21 and then 24. I could quote that to you. I have that down. I gotta say, I never really took notice of 22 and 23. It says, the eye is a light for the body, and your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are evil, then your whole body will be full of darkness. And if only the light you have is really darkness, then you have the worst darkness. It's like, how does that fit into all that? Eyes, what do we do with our eyes? We look, we see, we focus in on things. Some of you know that a couple months ago I put my baby to rest, my Volvo. It was a sad day. Had 260,000 miles on it. Excuse me. Kind of emotional. I love that car. It was an older car. I mean, it had a lot of miles on it. Well, that car made my butt feel so good. See, a number of years ago, I was hiking with my daughter, and I fell, and I landed right on I must have shattered my tailbone, because I can only sit for so long. Like right now, I got to move around a little bit, because it kind of hurts sitting, especially in a hard chair. Maybe we can get a big comfy chair up here for me to use, you know. A lazy boy. Hey, everybody, how you doing? But that Volvo, I could drive all day and never have any pain. This Volkswagen out here, can't do that. You know what I've been doing a lot lately? I've been going through Craigslist, seeing if I can find an older Volvo that I can. I don't really need a car, but I'm kind of looking. I've spent on my vacation. I have my phone out. I'm flipping through Craigslist, looking through cars.com, autotrader.com, just seeing what's around. Went and looked at a car, didn't like it. But I've been focusing on this. What does that say? Sometimes the things that we... Careful. That was rhetorical. Don't need to hear it. You can tell me later, Mary. We spend so much time focusing on things. Are they the things that God really desires? You see, this passage here, because right after it talked about you can't serve two masters, I think it's kind of an addition problem here. You got your treasure. You talk about your heart. You're talking about your eyes, what you focus on. Treasure and what you focus on, it equals what's your master. Jesus is laying this out here. You tell me where your treasure is. You tell me what you focus on, what you dwell on, what consumes you. And I'll tell you what your master is. So after spending 2 weeks on vacation thinking about what this other new car I could get, or it wouldn't be a new car, by the way. It would be an old car. I always buy old cars. What's my treasure? What's my focus? What's my master? And the question I think we need to ask, or maybe Jesus is asking you, is that same thing. Where your treasure is where your heart. Where's your heart? Is it in things? Is it inquiring more stuff? Is it in other people recognizing you and what you're doing? What are you focusing on? What's coming in to you? What are you dwelling on? Are you dwelling on the light of God's word? Or is it other things? Because that's going to indicate something. Because Jesus is really clear here, because you can't serve two masters. Not my words. Because I'd kind of say, I kind of serve both masters here. Jesus is saying you can't. Where are you at? What is God speaking to you about? What is he calling you to? We look at the Sermon on the Mountain, and it's kind of a nice message Jesus is talking, but he really hits home. And for us in America, he really hits home. Because we kind of equate stuff with God's blessing. And the more stuff we have, the more God has blessed us. And the more God has blessed us, the more he must love us. What is that saying to people who have nothing? God love them any less? Or, I can't think of the name of that song. There's this one song out there. This guy's saying, I'm shaking my fist at God, all the poor, all the things that are going on. And he says, well, God created you. Maybe what God's done is he's moved in our lives. He's given us what he's given us so that other people come to know Jesus. That old guy who died and they're putting money in his pocket, I don't know if I would have been smart enough to think about putting a check in. That's pretty good. So any of you ask me, hey, put money in, you know, you're going to die, I'm going to write a check. Okay, I like that idea. Why are we doing what we're doing? Maybe he's given us this stuff so that, well, what's the one thing we can take with us? Other people. That's the only thing. Some of you, you know my brother's story, John. Glad he's not here today because I can use it as an illustration. Lost his wife. And over this time, he's been thinking, I got all this stuff. And what he's thinking about doing, he's just trying to get rid of the stuff. So that stuff no longer possesses him. How can I use what God has given me? How can I leverage what God has given me so that other people hear about Jesus? Because to be honest, if you're blessed with anything, whether it's health, whether it's financial, whether it's knowledge, whether it's wisdom, whatever that may be, whatever God may have blessed you with, he didn't bless it for your own well-being. He blessed you with it so that you be a blessing to others, so that others are drawn to Christ and come to know him. We sang that song earlier. We are redeemed for what? To redeem. You're a new creation in Christ. Why? So that you got your ticket stamped and you're going to heaven? No, you're a new creation in Christ. Paul is really clear in 2 Corinthians 5. Because now you are an ambassador. You've been given this ministry of reconciliation so others who don't know you can come to know. That's the only thing we can take. Jesus is saying here, our priorities matter. And what we do in our priorities matter. Why we do what we do matters. And what it comes down to is, what's my priority? What are your priorities? Who's my master? Who's your master? Let's do that thing we always do, where I just ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, and just kind of isolate yourself with God. Just you and God a little bit here. Let him see what he wants to speak to you about. First thing I want to mention is as you got your eyes closed, is we've been talking about knowing Jesus, and maybe you're here today, and you know, you don't know where you really stand with Jesus. You've heard it. You've been around it a little bit. You know some of the sayings. You know some of the slogans that we say. But you don't know Jesus, really. He's not your master. You'd like to say, you know what, I wouldn't mind talking to someone just to have a better understanding what it means to have Jesus as my master. Because, you know, he won't accept anything else. There's only two. It's one, either he's your master or he's not. If you'd like to talk to someone about knowing Jesus as Lord, what that means, I would just ask that you might just look up at me. Maybe raise your hand. Saying, Jay, you know, I wouldn't mind talking to you about that. I don't know exactly where I stand with that. Maybe you're here today too, and some of the things we've been talking about, this having two masters. Jesus saying is enough's enough. And you want to say, Jay, you know, I'd like to take the another step. We sang in a saw in the video there, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Jay, I want to draw near to God. If that's where you're at, you want to draw near to God than where you are now, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. If you might just look up at me or raise your hand, saying, Jay, that's where I'm at. I want to draw near. I'm with him. I know him. But I want to grow more. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. I thank you for those who are indicating that, yeah, they want to take a step, whether it's to really know you or whether it's to grow deeper in you. Lord, we just come and we offer ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing we can do to make you love us anymore. You've demonstrated your love for us. Lord, we offer ourselves to you again. Show us, what does it mean to die to ourselves? What does it mean to be a true follower of you? Lord, we don't want to play church games. We want to be real, authentic followers. Pray for my sisters and brothers today, Lord. Continue to draw them. Continue to put people and things, resources into their lives that you'll use to leverage them to move closer to you. And Lord, may we be those people who will take the things, the blessings that you have given us, and we'll use them for other people. So Lord, that they might know you. For your glory, Lord, that we would covet